it's funny. Insensitive.
It's not. It's not. That was really funny.
He's a good man. Oh, well, say it again then. Well, it won't be as funny.
Say it again. I will react as if it's the first time I heard it.
That we'll just start the episode. Okay. How's it going?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to an episode of
Suck Off. I don't know. It's not a good impression. I'm not getting better.
I was going to do a shiv one, like, oh, suck off.
Oh, that's good. The thing is, that's like mostly face, and mm-hmm. the listeners won't be able to see your...
it's mostly like, a face impression.
Yeah. How's it going? We're here for episode 4,
yes.
season 1.
I'm Christian Borky. That's Carson Runquist.
I'm Carson Runquist. The name of this episode, I forget.
Sad Sack Wasp
sack,
Trap.
Sad Sack Wasp Trap. Bunch. No, not Bunch. Bunch is not. Never mind. this is the Wreckney Ball episode.
The Wreckney Ball episode. It is the Cruises introduction episode.
Yes.
It is the episode that is so tightly written. It's probably one of my favorite in the series.
Absolutely.
I love this fucking episode. Do you want to do the recappy, the recap for the recap, basically?
I mean, you basically just did the short recap for the recap. It's Cruises gets introduced.
Wreckney Ball. Logan goes back to work.
Big Dick is back in town. Yep.
What is the matter with you? I'm getting soap.
I'm always like, Christian makes this podcast so vulgar. How am I going to show this to my mom? And then I say stuff like that. Yeah, I did not bring this up at Thanksgiving, by the way, this podcast.
Oh.
And I really wanted to because I wanted to be like, I got some new stuff going on. But I was like, I can't share.
Well, you can bring it up at New Year's.
Yes.
Look at that.
Yep. New Year, new pod. So anyway, should we just dive right into
it? Let's dive right in.
It starts with Logan. Well, okay, I will just say right off the bat that my whole, like, Kendall Carr beginning of every episode thing got disproved immediately at this episode.
It wasn't the beginning of the episode, though, but he was in the back of a car, like 5 minutes in?
Yes. I thought it was at the end of the episode.
Maybe it was.
After the Wreckney Ball.
I'm drunk.
it is noon on a
I'm
Thursday.
Joking. Or am I?
So yeah, it starts with Logan learning how to walk, which I think there's a fun little moment here where he's learning how to walk, and I forget what he says. He asks Marcia to do something, and she tells him to turn it off himself or something.
Oh yeah, she is really, like, the whole episode is encouraging him to sort of get back at it. She's like aggressive in his healing. He wants her to turn off the music. She says, go do it yourself. Mm-hmm. Or there's something else that happens like that where she's clearly trying to get him to, like, it's also what he wants, obviously. He doesn't want to be coddled. He doesn't want to be babied.
Absolutely.
And then she doesn't, and then he gets mad when she doesn't.
Well, the thing is, I was watching this with Cookie, friend of the pod, mm-hmm. And they made a good point that just, like, Marcia is one of the only people I feel like Logan can, like, listen to in that way. Like,
yeah.
She's the only one that can put him in his place, and it kind of gets through to him. Because anyone else tries to do what Marcia's doing... shut down immediately.
Absolutely. Evident by the fact that the assistant walks in, Carolina, I believe, mm-hmm. is the assistant that walks in,
yeah.
and is reading him the news, and she's like, oh, we don't need to do personal stuff. And he's like, no, you will, though.
Yeah, that was, like, one of the first moments where I was like, this guy is evil. Like, it was such a, like, it hurt hearing what he had to say.
Yeah.
I don't know. But he's back.
Well, she dishes him the headline that Kendall's going to be speaking at the Wreckney Ball.
Yes.
Which is signaling a step away from public life for Logan.
Yes.
He hears that, and boy, that motivates him more than anything Marcia was doing.
Yes. Dude, this episode is like the first episode in the series where it's like kind of Kendall and Logan, like, battling back and forth, like playing one move. And it's just, oh, it's so good. It's so good.
Oh, yeah. Because...
yeah, we'll get into later in the episode what happens, but I have this line that Roman said in the next scene where he's with his girlfriend. I forget what her
Grace.
Name is. This is her Grace. Her last episode is the next episode.
Yes.
We don't see a lot. But he's like in the bathroom and he's like, I have to fart and I can't because you're here.
There's 5 bathrooms. Why are you in this bathroom right now?
It's like, I'm feeling oppressed, which is a really good Roman scene.
The whole thing, so good. It really clues us in to some things that are coming later, which is that Grace is trying to initiate sex with Roman, and he's mm-hmm. like, can you go away?
Yeah. It's funny because that's Roman's first scene in this episode, and the episode ends with Roman getting laid with
Having
someone
sex.
Else at the Wreckney Ball.
No, that's her.
That's her? I thought it was some random person. No, that was definitely her. That was definitely
her. And he was, yeah, she got like the waiter's number, like they were flirting.
Right, right.
And Roman sort of explores this new territory of enjoying being cucked a little bit.
I thought this was just a pathetic scene the first time I watched it, but ever since you brought up his like fetish, when I watched that scene with the waiter, I was like, oh, he's so into
it.
He's into.
Mm-hmm. Which is why when her phone is buzzing and it's the waiter calling, that's what he uses to, you know, get some jobs done. It's because he's enjoying being cucked. There's like some level of depravity is not the right word because cuckness is not depravity.
Yeah.
But like some deviation is the word I was looking for.
Yes.
Deviation from the norm, shall we say, that he's enjoying exploring. And you know what? Deviation from the norm, that's a gay thing. Homosexuals, we win.
Speaking of homosexuals, Tom.
Oh, my God.
Well, it's established in this episode that Tom is from St. Paul, Minnesota, which, as someone from St. Paul, Minnesota, it blew my mind the first time I heard it. I was like, no, we got Tom. Like, I need you to know, at my high school reunion last year, this was like the talk of the town.
You're
Everyone was like, can you believe we have Tom Wamsgans? And I was like, yeah, that's our representation.
That's so cute.
It's so funny to me that Tom is from Minnesota.
I never realized.
Yeah,
aww.
My hometown. But anyway, that's another thing about this episode is the senator butthole pick.
Yes.
Or the senator's husband's butthole.
The thing I wanted to bring up is that there is not a single interaction in this episode that doesn't have to do with, like, power as it relates to gender and sex.
Mm.
In that, like, the cruises thing happens, the senator thing happens.
Yes.
Even Kendall's date to the Reckney Ball is under the guise of, like, the assistant made her go.
Yes, yep.
Roman is having his, like... Roman does a lot of talking this episode of, like, oh, just... Roman tells Kendall, just invite... the ATN news anchor, like, she can't say no to you, whatever, you're a man of power. Like, he talks a big talk and then clearly walks sort of a different walk than the one that he talks. Because Roman says in the episode, I get laid all the time.
Yeah.
And Kendall's like, you're a walking PR nightmare. And it's like, well, he doesn't. As we establish in the next episode, he has sex once every 6 months, you know?
Yeah.
So what was so striking is that every single interaction in this episode has to do with some sort of, like, sex scandal or, like, sex... I don't know, power abuse sort of thing.
Yeah.
And the different ways that all the characters process that sort of information.
Yeah.
That is what was so, like, blowing my mind about how tightly written this episode was. It's
absolutely
thematically very tight.
There is the Bill setup, though, with cruises.
Yes. Do you want to talk about it? Or do you want...
I think, well, the thing is, this is a little bit more businessy, and I'm more interested in what you have to say about it, so please.
So Tom pretty clearly lays out the stakes. It's, like, kind of vague when Bill's explaining it to him, but then, like, when Tom is explaining it to Greg, he says it in no uncertain terms that on several of the Waystar Royco cruises, which... This is actually unclear to me, and I think this will be answered throughout the rewatch, but it's unclear if it's, like, just... company people on these cruises where this specific thing happens or if it's like any Waystar Royco cruise. However, what is established very clearly is that any serious criminal incident, there's an unofficial company policy that were some sort of theft, rape, murder, thing like that to happen, they would, instead of sailing back to their original destination in the United States, sail to some other international place with quote-unquote friendly authorities where the issue was dealt with so as to avoid negative PR.
Yes.
And this was extensively documented so as to, I guess, get everyone's stories straight. Mm-hmm. And now those documents are a ticking time bomb because... anyone could come forward at any point and say, hey, I was involved in this thing, and I know I signed an NDA, but I'm not being quiet anymore.
Yeah.
That's mostly what the documents are, I assume, is a non-disclosure agreement.
Yes. And Bill is telling Tom about this, which the way Tom describes it, which is perfect, is like a deadly virus where anyone that knows about it is now in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I have felt, obviously not this level of information, but I've certainly felt that way before where it's like, I'm told something and now I have to keep this a secret.
Yeah. And I forget what Bill says to Tom specifically, but he's like, you can either go into the death pit knowing or...
you cannot know.
Yeah. And I think it's just telling that Tom chooses to go into the death pit and...
that scene of him, like, on the floor, just, like, tearing up those documents, like, reading them and just going nuts.
Yeah.
He's, like, on all fours. I'm like, he's so real for that.
Yeah. It's like, 1 minute, please.
yeah.
I'm busy.
I'm glad the Wamkins is coming back out. You're probably so good at it because you're from St. Paul, too.
I know that. I'm saying.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's a really good... It's just crazy to see how far this setup goes, this cruises thing, because this kind of burns deep into the show.
I forgot that Tom just, like, is in a different TV show than everybody else.
Yeah. Well, and then Greg, but...
Yeah.
So that's set up.
That is set up, and Tom does immediately choose to tell Greg.
Yeah.
Because he can't... He tries to sort of tell Shiv. He tries to tell Kendall, and Kendall says one of the most important lines in the show that clearly syncs up with Tom, and he says... My dad loves the people who eat shit for him, and he never even knows it.
Yes, exactly.
And it's just like a close-up on Tom's face, and you see that information sort of sink in and process, and then Tom's like, okay, well, get me my knife and fork.
Something that comes back all the way in season three, I should say, but we are once again jumping ahead. They're so exciting to see, like, how these seeds are planted so early on.
Yeah.
Specifically with Tom, because in my opinion, he's like, maybe the main character of this whole show.
What are you talking about?
Have you not seen where this show goes? Like, I will, there's a great moment with Ken and Rome in this, where I forget who, I think it's Kendall that says to Roman, you're doing a great job. There's a kiss on the forehead.
There is a kiss. Moment. I was gonna mention the kiss.
Yeah.
Aww.
There's once again a connection to Kendall and Roman, to Ewan and Logan, but that's once again episode four. So
I can't wait to hear you talk about that. I guess this whole thing is just an ad for episode five.
Or episode five, yeah.
Yeah,
Roman tries to like hype up Kendall to get laid at the Rackney Ball. which you've already talked about a little bit.
That Roman says, yeah, just fucking ask the ATN news anchor. She can't say no.
Yeah.
You're the guy in power. You can just do that.
Yeah.
And Kendall, what I appreciate about his character is that he is someone who, at least psychically, like in his own mind, does not choose to exert power over women in the way that Roman is trying to describe.
Yes, yes.
But that's not to say that Kendall has no power over women or like doesn't fall into those things later in the show or whatever. But at least to the best of his ability, he does want to be a good guy. And he does want to be on equal footing with his partners.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why I'm like, I feel like Kendall aligns more with Ewan. Just because I feel like Ewan.
Interesting.
Once again, episode five.
They don't know who Ewan is.
Nobody knows who Ewan is yet. Connor has a. This is the first Connor episode, really. Connor episode.
Connor believes he is in charge of the Rackney Ball.
Yes.
Because he is meant to get all of the seating arrangements and make sure the butter's the right temperature.
Yep.
And this man has a whole meltdown over it.
Yes.
My favorite Connor moment, though, is when he approaches one of the dancers that is supposed to be, like, you know, performing at the Rackney Ball. Yep, and he's like, first of all, he's like, I'm misunderstood too, just like you. Because he's speaking to this, like, dancer from Brooklyn. He's like, we're both misunderstood, and you know what, look at us, we're just talking, we're just shooting the shit. I have this idea that there should be no government and it should just be people like you and me talking to each other, and that's how everything should work.
He's like, guys like us, you
guys
know?
Like us.
And I'm like, oh, it could not be more tone deaf and Connor.
It is so funny. This is like most libertarians, but especially a rich libertarian who is so dependent on systems that he doesn't understand.
Yes.
Being like, we should have no federal system.
Exactly.
We should have nothing. So funny.
Says that and then proceeds to run the Rackney Ball like it's the fucking Navy. And like yelling at the staff and like screaming at everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a hilarious episode that really sums up Connor better than, like, any other episode.
Oh, so good. And then, my actual favorite moment of the episode is when Connor, like, has a meltdown over the butter.
Yeah.
And then he comes up and he apologizes to everyone about, like, the butter.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he walks away and Logan goes, there was a problem with the butter. And Marcia goes, it was frozen. Like, Marcia noticed. Like, a thing that nobody else cared about. Marcia was like, well, it was frozen.
Yeah. I like how he has that whole meltdown and yells at the entire staff. And then after the fucking ballet performance, gets like one really good review from Frank. Like, Frank's the only... Frank appears to be the only one that liked that ballet performance. He's like, best event of the season. And then kind of goes back into the kitchen. It's like, you guys.
We did it.
We love you guys. You're awesome. You're awesome.
And come here, my rock. Stephanie, just... my rock.
It's just so perfect. Also, yeah, it starts with him having this, like, backseat in the car conversation with Logan that, as we've seen in the past, like, seems to go well for some characters, but, like, Logan just does not take this man seriously.
Yeah,
for a second.
There's a really tenuous balance, though, where Connor will bring up a pleasant personal childhood memory, yeah. and Logan will connect to that and sincerely smile and, like, bask in the warmth of this personal connection, which then Connor immediately undercuts by saying, like, hey, you ever consider this? Or just, oh, yeah. what was it? Maybe it had to do with the Wrecking Ball, or it had to do with him getting more power. Mm-hmm. And, wait, I forget what dumb shit he said.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he immediately undercut this, like, warm personal moment with Logan with...
Yeah.
his real motive, you know, right, his ulterior right. thing that he wanted to ask Logan about, which is a little bit tragic for Logan.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like you can't have this one sincere moment with his son.
With his eldest son. I have the eldest son. But yeah, it's a little bit sad. Again, I'm not sitting here like crying rivers of tears over Logan mm-hmm. Roy, but it is sad that he has really no one to personally connect with except yeah. for Marcia, who keeps like telling him, oh, when they arrive at the Wrecking Ball, he's like, I don't think I can do this. And she's like, you can though.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
She's always the initial kick. And then what really gets him going is spite for Kendall, because then when he gets there and he hears that Kendall's going to say he's retiring, that literally,
that's when,
like,
it kicks in.
That's all the amphetamines kicking in that he's been taking mm-hmm. way too much of. And
yeah.
then he gets up and makes a whole speech that is cogent, coherent, like right. awe-inspiring.
It's a good speech
yeah.
that he gives.
Brian Cox acts it so well, because at any point you're like, oh, this is going to go wrong, because yeah. he takes so much like breath in between what he's gonna say.
Yep.
And it's like kind of old man breath, but it's also like, is he confused? It's also like, is he being intentional and theatrical? What is it? Oh, it's so good.
The greatest twist in the speech is when he's like, I heard I've been taken advantage of while I was under. We have a new member of the family. And
someone made a proposal.
Yeah.
A romantic yeah. proposal. It's my son-in-law, Tom.
And even Tom's surprised. He's like, okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Oh, hey, all right.
Thank you. It's like the funniest moment in the episode.
And if I may,
uh-huh.
I remember the scene you're talking about with Shiv. I have just now remembered.
Please say it, because
Tom tells Shiv, I think I'm going to do a press conference
yes,
for cruises.
Yes,
and
yes.
she then ignores him to go talk about Senator's butthole. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so we only see him tell Shiv that he wants to do this press conference. He wants to do the right thing. He mm-hmm. wants to come forward, come clean, like have everyone, the DOJ, come look at Waystar
yeah.
and be like a good man about this.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry approaches him at the Wrecking Ball and says, I heard you want to do a press conference. In no uncertain terms, don't fucking do that.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
is so dumb. You will take the whole company down. Do not do that. Sometimes it's just your job. It's your job to be the man who eats the cake at the funerals.
Yes.
And then as long as someone eats your cake when you're dead, yep. you're fine.
Yep.
And then, oh, this episode is so good. Tom approaches Greg, who we have not seen him say to Greg, I'm going to do mm-hmm. a press conference. It's just assumed through this conversation.
Yeah.
He's like, fuck you, man. You told Jerry, like, I only told you about the press conference, which is not true because we saw him tell Shiv.
Yes.
I only told you. And Greg is like, believe me, man, I did not say anything.
Yes.
Tom looks over at Shiv.
Shiv gives him that eye.
Gives him that eye. And through the whole episode has not really been supportive. Throughout the whole, I mean, all the time we've seen Tom and Shiv.
Yeah.
She's never really been supportive of him.
Yeah.
So he's immediately like, oh man, Shiv told Jerry. And then at the very end of the episode, Jerry approaches Greg and says, good move, buddy. Oh!
It's a perfect.
Bang, bang!
It's perfect.
Oh.
Which, in my opinion, does not take away from Shiv would betray Tom.
Absolutely.
Like
would
that,
in a second.
But it was a... Even though this was my second time, I forgot that it was Greg. I was like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
Greg did tell Jerry.
Like, the web that's already being weaved here
yeah.
of, like, Greg gets a win for being honest with Tom, even though he wasn't honest.
Yes.
Shiv gets an L for literally doing nothing.
Yeah.
Jerry continues to orchestrate everybody and
yeah.
continues to be the, you know, receptacle of information, shall mm-hmm. we say. And... Oh, God, it is just so good. That web of Greg, mm-hmm. Shiv, and Tom. Because, again, three episodes ago, Greg was loyal to Shiv and didn't bring the contracts or whatever
yeah.
for the trust to sign. So it's like each one of them keeps scoring points with the other and then also keeps fucking the other one over
yeah.
in this fucked up game of chess. Oh, it's so good!
It's also like it proves that Greg is like a really good liar and
yeah.
knows how to play dumb in the episode and kind of knows more about what he's doing than people realize. Because I'm like,
mm-hmm.
his reaction to Tom accusing him is so genuine, which I'm like, obviously that's partly Nicholas Braun, but I'm like, Greg is playing it right. Like,
yeah.
he's a smart dude in this show.
Like, actors know how to play their character as a bad actor, you
yeah.
know? And so Nicholas
Kendall.
Braun made the So Nicholas Braun made the choice to make Greg a good actor.
Yeah.
And by good actor, I mean, it's because Greg most of the time does seem genuinely baffled and confused at most of what's going on around him.
Right.
And so to be accused of something, I imagine as Greg's psychic character, not Nicholas Sprung, but like Greg's internal monologue is like, this is a lot. Like,
yeah.
It's probably made the lie more believable.
Yeah.
He was like, I didn't think you'd come accost me at the recce ball.
It's my favorite scene in this whole thing. Because it's like, you at first you're like, oh, it's like the first betrayal between Shiv and Tom. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's really like Tom's getting betrayed left and right.
Uh-huh. And then thinks it's his wife.
Yeah.
Oh, and then continues to sit on that information. So good.
Yeah. And okay, going now that I remember the breakfast scene,
yes.
I guess the point I was trying to make is that Shiv goes, it's like Tom is setting up in this thing that is later going to burn the company, as we come to see with this whole cruises thing and the way he wants to like come out publicly about it. And it's basically he's getting in the way of Shiv's business, and then Shiv has to take a phone call and deal with the senator's husband who's getting in the way of her business.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like a lot of like husbands and men getting in the way of these.
Ooh, interesting.
And I like the fact that Shiv has to leave to take care of another husband's mm-hmm. issue, you know.
And we have not even touched on like her arc this episode.
Yeah.
Which her campaign office, mm-hmm. like she's a campaign manager or whatever for a senator or a senator hopeful. Is that what they call it? And the senator's husband posts a pic of his asshole on something called Filthy Rich, says, look at my asshole. And Shiv is meant to do damage control on this.
Yes.
And part of the damage control is like, how are we going to spin this? Are we spinning this as like, well, a woman would never get something like this, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
What they say to her in this campaign office is, your name is on the side of the fucking building at Waystar Royco.
Yeah.
You go deal with this because it's mm-hmm. your family's company that is pushing this story so hard.
Yeah.
And then when Shiv does come, oh, this is part of why I think Shiv initially doesn't have the business mind that she's meant to have.
Mm-hmm.
She approaches, I think it's Eva, or she approaches some woman at ATN and is like, hey, you need to stop running this story. This is undemocratic. A man wouldn't be getting this. At some point, mm-hmm. you need to stop. This is the old world, and the new world's coming.
Yeah.
And the woman at ATN is like, well, your name's on the side of the building, so of course you're saying that, little daddy's girl. If it were me, and maybe this would be a bad business move, I'd be like, yeah, my name is on the side of the building, and you will be fired. You know?
Right.
Like, I would do anything to get my way, but Shiv doesn't. She just, like, takes that L.
That's so true.
You know?
She kind of, like, just is a stick in the mud after that, and I don't know.
She gets personally offended at the idea that her name is on the side of this building, and it's her pride that hurts more mm-hmm. than anything else. And they always let their pride get in the way of this thing, which I guess, as we find out in the Thanksgiving episode, the senator won, so it doesn't mm-hmm. matter. But still, it's like, I can't believe Shiv took that so hard. I can't believe she took just an insult like that personally.
Right. If it was Logan and she was actually in charge in his position, it's like he would never let that get to her.
Yep.
It's like, that's a great point. Yeah.
Just wanted to say it.
It's one of the many L's I feel like Shiv takes.
Yeah. Oh, Shiv. I think Shiv is one of the biggest losers of the episode.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. The ballet. We already talked about the ballet performance.
It was kind of a frightening performance. If I was Logan and I was like disoriented, I'd be scared.
Such a funny. Just seeing everyone's reactions to the performance is such
Roman
a great
yawning,
moment.
Tom loving it.
And then Roman audibly groaning and. Like, oh, Frank loving it.
Frank eating it up. For it.
Frank loves ballet, confirmed. And then, there's the Logan speech, which, so, okay, this is where I wanted your take, because the order of events is that Connor goes up to read over the what's it called, the teleprompter or something, and he sees there that there's, like, a surprise Logan retirement announcement,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, does Logan know about this? And he's like, I don't know, but Kendall put this in there. And then he tells Logan, and Logan's like, no, I had no plans on this. And then he's like, I'm going to speak instead of Kendall.
Yeah.
But at the end of the episode, when after Logan does the speech, he goes up to Kendall and confronts him about this. And it seems like Kendall genuinely had no plan to put
in
this
retirement
announcement.
I think Kendall was lying.
I don't know.
Because the guy said Kendall, when Connor was talking to the teleprompter guy, mm-hmm. the guy said, yeah, Kendall told me to add this. He's just going to wing it. And I don't think the surprise Logan Roy retirement announcement is not one little joke that because Kendall, mind you, the entire time was trying to like find jokes that he was putting in his speech, which everyone was like, you're not funny.
I'm funny.
I love when serious characters are like, I'm funny. I have everyone in stitches. No, I actually, I would be curious to go back and like do a zoom in on the things that Kendall had written down on his mm-hmm. little speech. But
yeah.
I sincerely think he was planning on fucking his dad over and saying he's going to mm-hmm. retire. I
believe it.
I think he was lying when he was like, I was going to make a joke about how you're going to retire. No, you
yeah.
weren't.
Yeah.
And to me, the obviousness of the lie is part of like watching Kendall be like, oh no, like me watching Kendall, oh no, man, you're making all the wrong moves. Like mm-hmm. at some point, maybe Logan would like it better if you just owned up to it and you said, yeah, I tried yeah. to fuck you over.
I know. I feel like it would boost Kendall up a little bit more if he was just open about it with his dad.
Mm-hmm.
Cause he kind of like gets more in that space later on in the show where he's a bit more open about how
he comes
much
across
he
weaselly, you know, yeah. weaselly and timid. And then he, like, the second you put any pressure on him, he goes back yeah. into his hole.
Well, is this the same episode that Logan pisses on in his office?
Oh yeah,
because that's
we didn't
a whole,
even talk about
that's
that.
An entire thing because he comes in and pitches the thing in front of Stewie,
uh-huh.
to which Stewie has a great line where he's like, "Who's really in charge here?" Mm-hmm. And Kendall's like, "I am." And then the immediate cut is Logan pissing in his office.
And as we talked about before, you know that shit smells like Fanta. Like that is just rancid.
Well, the fucking there's a scene of Kendall like puts his finger in it and like puts it up to his nose. He's like, "Oh Jesus, fuck."
Yeah.
And, yeah, I,
like if it were me that pissed on the floor in that mm-hmm. office, he probably would not have had such a strong reaction because it wouldn't have smelled so bad.
Yeah,
that's how you know,
right?
His insides are rotten. Is like one little
good.
Finger touch on a carpet,
yeah.
brought to the nose is like, oh. And I get it, you know, like Kendall is very clean lifestyle mm-hmm. and he's not around filth a lot.
Yeah,
so maybe I'm just revealing the excess of my filth, but if it were my piss, he would not be all that.
And you'd be like, oh, that's clean.
And
yeah,
you'd be like, huh. What
interesting.
Is that?
Maybe piss? I don't know. But anyway, I like the scene a lot because Stewie is kind of just in the middle of this and knows that he, I don't know, he kind of has a leg up on both of them mm-hmm. in this situation.
Absolutely.
Which is why it felt in the end, even though I don't think Stewie's at this Reckney ball, it just felt like a Stewie move to put that in there because it feels like he's like kind of on the outskirts, like orchestrating a lot of this.
Let me get your take on this. Do you think the pissing was intentional or not?
I think it was. And this goes back to the point I made in episode one where he's pissing on the floor where I'm like, I think that's such a like great theme in this episode because it is both like a power move and like staking your territory and showing like I can do this and someone else is going to clean it up. But it's also like this person's clearly out of their fucking mind. Mm. I don't think it was fully, I don't know if it was fully intentional because Logan is clearly unwell with like the coffee cup thing. But
which
that's,
is again in the next episode.
I know. But I'm just like, there's a lot of moments where it's hard to tell how sincere Logan is being about this. And
yeah.
that is, again, a thing that I will talk about in the next episode.
So what do you think is a more interesting read? Him doing it intentionally is a more interesting read to you or him not
yeah.
doing it intentionally?
I think doing it intentionally. Mm. I don't know. I think it's interesting to look at it as he did it intentionally, but is like unwell at the same time. Like I think two can be true at the same time.
Whoa.
Because I was thinking about this Jeremy Strong interview about Succession on Colbert where he brings up like what he thinks the show is about. And he's like, I think it's about the way that like toxic family relationships are bled into the water that we're all drinking from. Like,
whoa.
The people at the higher up, like, all the shitty things going on in their own relationship is shit that affects us. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I think looking at, like, how unwell this man is, and I'm just like, I think it speaks to, like, the people in the most power. This is him, like, showing he has the power to piss on his own floor,
yeah.
but, like, he shouldn't have that power, I guess, is what I'm saying.
I also think I had considered, and I really wanted to read it, like, he didn't know what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But the more I was thinking about it, the more it's like, his moments of lucidity are at mm-hmm. their most lucid when he's mad at Kendall. Like,
right.
That is what just like brings the fire back into his eyes and spirit. And that is when he's at his most clear-headed.
Yeah. Which is why it's crazy and kind of almost made me cry during the speech when he like gives a little shout out to Kendall
yeah.
in the speech. And I was like, but then immediately
comes down and says, "Don't fuck me ever again."
It's like for a second you're like, "Aw," and then yeah. So that's most of this episode.
God, how long have we been talking for? My God,
it's at 31 minutes. So
all right.
we'll start wrapping it up and say, fuck, this is a tough one to figure out who the winner and loser are. I will say, I think I have my winner. I don't know about you.
I think in his own personal psyche, Connor won this episode.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say Connor. Like, he fucking, because Logan has this like jumping off point at the beginning where he's like, well, we'll see how tonight goes. And to Connor, tonight fucking ruled. Yep. Like, he killed it.
And
so
we'll see how tonight goes is clear, at least to me, as like, this is not going to fucking happen.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, like, Connor didn't actually win, but again, in his own personal psychic experience, Connor won, you know? Like, there's also no man more important than Connor Roy.
Connor did kind of help Logan deliver the speech at the end of the day.
That is
like,
true.
Connor's the reason Logan took over instead of Kendall, so.
Yeah, and I don't even think Connor saw it as a betrayal. He was just like, hey, Dad, are you retiring? I didn't know that.
He's just kind of on the outside of it.
Yeah.
Loser.
Certainly Shiv.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's either, I was going to say Shiv or Tom.
I don't think Tom.
Tom's not a full loss.
He didn't really lose, because he was advised apparently well by Jerry. Mm-hmm. I guess he was, you know, he thought he was betrayed by his wife, but he still thinks he has a really good friend and confidant in Greg.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, like, Shiv unintentionally got a lot of blowback this episode for other people's responsibility and actions.
Exactly,
So she kind of took a massive L for everybody else.
Totally, yeah.
So that's
it's funny, like, she's not really, she's kind of living in a different show at this point where she's got her own issues and all this comes together eventually, but I'm like, Shiv just stays losing in her own.
Yeah.
Like she's not even dealing with the big, like, taking over stuff yet, and she's still
losing.
Not doing great.
No.
Roman is just happily, like, getting cucked, and that's...
Yes, he is. You know what? He gets his biggest W.
He gets a pretty big W, this one. But yeah, I think that will do for this episode.
That'll do.
I'll see you all next week in Thanksgiving.
Well,
we're going to record it now, but...
Apparently, it's going to be a great episode, because it's all we talk about this episode.
Oh, it's such a good episode.
Meow.
So, thank you for listening, and as always...
Suck off.